Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And then if you've ever gotten an email from me, you will have read at the bottom, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This reading from Romans follows after seven chapters of theological discourse about sin and forgiveness and what you should do and not do as the people of God. He goes on and on and on telling us how bad we are and how bad we will be in the future and what we ought to be doing, and then we get to breathe. I appeal to you, therefore, all of you, because of God's mercy and God's grace and God's love, that no matter who or where you are, whatever your station in life or your gifts, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. What an odd word. What is supposed to happen to sacrifices? Seriously, you can talk. It's all right. You'll have plenty of time to listen in a minute. What happens when you sacrifice something? It dies. That's the whole point of a sacrifice, right? It dies. If it doesn't die, it's like putting a dollar in the offering plate. It didn't hurt that bad. But Paul says to present yourselves, your whole selves, as a living sacrifice. It means that you give yourself over to God, your whole self, not once and then it's over, because that's what happens with a real sacrifice or the normal sacrifice. Up on the altar, they slit your throat, you're done. But a living sacrifice keeps sacrificing. Living sacrifice. Present your whole self that way. But don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. In this one couple of sentences and the sentences that follow, St. Paul lifts up an entire theological and ecclesial life, a whole way of thinking and talking about God and living it out as the church that maybe is unexpected and difficult. You see, most of us sort of just take our religion as it comes and our faith as it's given to us. And in fact, one of my favorite stories is that my friend Dina Dutta, who was ordained. She was ordained as a Lutheran pastor this year, and I went to her ordination. She's from India. And she would always say, Pastor, we have confirmation this week. She helped me teach confirmation, but she would always say, what are we going to do for confirmation this week? And I would say, I know that's what it seems like we're doing, but the word is really important. You see, I don't think what Paul is hoping is that somehow you'll be formed into the body of Christ by being shaped like clay into a mold, right? Pressing out good little Lutherans and good little Christians and good little Baptists and good little Catholics. conformed so that you look the right part. You see, I think that's not a sacrifice at all. That's easy. Easy stuff. Get the book, read the book, follow the rules, call yourself a Christian. What's so hard about that? But to be transformed involves imagination and freedom. And that's what Romans is all about. That's what the book of Galatians is all about. That somehow in being gifted by God and loved by God, we have been set free to become the body of Christ with all of our gifts. And so Paul will say, "For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, gift and function." So that as Carl began to put together this last service, he said to me, "I want everyone to be involved." Now, if you've been here very much, you know we try to keep things thematic. The 10:30 service is the 10:30 service. It has a style, it has a repertoire, it has an orchestra. The 8 o'clock service just has us. But what happens when you see that within this body of Christ, there are so many gifts that can be shared in so many ways, and that each of you, in your transformative experience in God, can share your gifts? Not as individuals, but as the body. You see, that's where this text gets very exciting. It's not good enough for people who like 8 o'clock styles just to do their thing and have their own church, and 10:30 people to have their own thing, and visitors wonder what is going on. It's not enough for you to be a singer and for you to be an organist and for you to be really good at painting and for you over there to be able to fix things and you to be able to have compassion. By yourselves, it's just wonderful that you can do those things. That's great. But when you bring them together, transformed, the body of Christ becomes an orchestra. I love timpani. I love the bass. I love viola. Violins we live with. And individually they're wonderful. The timpani, boom, 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 boom. The bass player, boom, 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 boom. But man, when you put them together under a conductor, you have music that is unforgettable and feeds at the soul and tears you open and knits you back together, and you find yourself going to new places in new ways. And in the same way, when our gifts of compassion and love and teaching, building and sharing and giving, generosity, are swept together into the body of Christ, something incredible happens. When we together confess the confession of Peter, "You are the living God," the gospel happens. And the fire is lit and it sweeps its grace upon the earth. And some of us have tiny little gifts, and some of us have great big gifts. And they're both wonderful. Today we get to celebrate someone with a really big gift. A little nervous. I have the baton. Carl, we wouldn't bother with all of this nonsense if you had just come and done a gig of directing our choir. Anybody can do that. Not everybody can do it well, right? But being a choir director is just a job for some people. What the gift is when you see in different people their small gifts and you weave them together into a choir and an orchestra and a ministry, something incredible happens. And then 200 people show up to say farewell. You see, that's what we're about, and I think that's what Christ is about in this lesson in Matthew, and I think that's what Paul is trying to get at, that as one body we have many members and we don't have the same function, but we who are many are one. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, but they are all from one Spirit. The exhorter, I loved that. Thank you, Mary. The exhorter! The giver in generosity. The choir master, the choir, the orchestra, even the violins. And God bless you, Jim, the only Lutheran church with steel drums. All for one purpose. That God's word of grace might live through all of you to be shared in love with the world. That we might confess Jesus as Lord, as Peter confesses, that we might be drawn into the grace of God again and again. And yes, we celebrate the individual and we love the gifts and we share them together. But the most important thing is that we have been drawn here by God to share those gifts together for the glory of God. I hope today you find that in this worship. I have certainly found that working with Carl for just the last 4 years. And may we be woven together as one choir for the sake of the gospel. Amen.